Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Why do you need to put on the full armor of God? If you are a Christian, if I am a Christian, we're running head on with the hell in this world. Doesn't that make sense? How can it be any other way if we are a member of God's family? And therefore, Paul is telling us here, you got to prepare for the battle of the evil and the sinister that is around you that want to take you out. Why do they want to take us out? So that you will not fulfill the purpose that God has for you for the rest of your life, and I will not fulfill the purpose God has for me the rest of my life. We're to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, right?
The truth is, the devil has you in his crosshairs, but you're not alone in the fight. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Satan's Plan for Your Life, opening your eyes to the spiritual battles around you and giving you the proven truth you need to win. That's coming right up, so stay put. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Satan's Plan for Your Life.
I was a freshman at the University of Alabama, studying engineering, and out of a clear blue sky, through a series of events that I'll never forget and really never understand, God clearly directed me to surrender my life to a vocational ministry in the church. I was so far away from understanding the church or what that meant, I didn't get it. You see, my pastor of my home church was a wonderful man, but church was a mild-mannered man speaking to mild-mannered people about how to be more mild-mannered. That's the church I was brought up with. But I went there and walked the aisle. They gave me a card. I didn't know much church. I filled out the card. They had no place to check what I was doing, and I just wrote, Lord, I give you all that I am and all I'll ever be. I didn't know what that meant. Oh, a few weeks later, the pastor called and in a stained glass voice said, Edwin, I would like you to speak in Wednesday night prayer service. So I consented. Now, my background was that any time I gave a public report, I had to respond on my feet all the way through high school. Now I'm a freshman in college. I was ingloriously terrible. My mind went blank. My knees knocked together, but I'd afraid they'd miss and I'd break both legs. I'm telling you, I was pitiful, pitiful, literally pitiful. I promise you that. But now that God had somehow directed me to give my life to the church, most unlikely person I thought on the planet for a lot of reasons. So I memorized this thing and I had this overwhelming sermon that nobody would ever forget. Every gesture, every word, every enunciated phrase. I stood up. Big crowd there, maybe 200 people. And I began to speak. And I'd been going about, maybe 5 minutes and blank. And so I just dropped my head and I said, there were teachers and family and et cetera. I wasn't married then, but Jo Beth was there. And I said, I don't have anything to say for God. I was trying to impress you with I don't know what. Now, I'm sorry, but I don't have a word to say. So I walked out the door, bam, got to the front of our church, and they had long steps going down then. I started down those steps, and every step I took, I said, man, I'm out of this thing, this church stuff. Oh, not for me. And about that time, I heard a voice, Mrs. Charles Walters, who was Jobath's grandmother. She was the matriarch of our church, and she thought fundamentalists were liberal. Tough as steel. So as I started down those steps, she said, Edwin Young, I've committed the unpardonable sin in addition to failing. And I said, yes, ma'am. She says, come here to me. I did. I didn't want lightning to strike or anything. And I went up those steps, and she looked at me and said, I was proud of you tonight. She said, if you're called by God, don't ever stand up and try to say anything yourself. If you don't have a word from God in His book, don't speak. You did the right thing tonight. You do that the rest of your life. Saved me for the calling that God had placed on my life. Therefore, you have heard me pray, if you've been around here, almost all the time. I just do it. I don't think about it. Lord, let me get out of the way so that thy word and thy word alone might be heard, because I've got nothing to say, which is absolutely true. You know, my opinion, your opinion, doesn't amount to too much. And so that's not just a little ritual. That's when I began to pray that prayer, and I have for a period of time. And here's the verse. I found it. Ephesians chapter 6. It's after the passages we're going to look at. That tells you what this is. Ephesians 6, verse 19, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. That's my prayer. It should be everybody's prayer who teaches or proclaims this word with boldness. God in charge, open your mouth to communicate the magnificent mystery of the gospel. Our scripture is parallel to that in my Bible. And it is the ending, this section, verse 10 through the ending of the sixth chapter, the study of Ephesians. Let me walk you through Ephesians. Would you like to do that? Ephesians. First three chapters of Ephesians says the world's in a mess. Paul says, this is your answer to your mess in that I died for you and you have been born again and you are to be a part of God's answer for the mess the world is in. First three chapters of Ephesians. Doctrine, this is what you believe. The shed blood of Christ. Salvation. God's answer for the mess the world is in. And then the next chapters, 4, 5, and 6, all the way through the 9th verse, says, now, You are in Christ, and this is what you believe, and you are God's answer for the mess the world is in. Now, this is how you live. You believe this, says Paul, you live like this. And he tells us how we are to relate as husband and wives, how we're to relate as children to parents, how we're to relate as employers to employees. And the whole relation is built on submission. Wife submits to the husband submits to the wife, the employees submit to the employer submits to the employees. And it goes right down the line with husbands and wives and children and parents and employees and employers. And the whole operative word is to submit. Position yourself under. And then we come to what should be the end of the book. Ninth verse, Paul ought to say sincerely, Paul, Tarsus. And maybe he does, but this section we're going to look at is sort of a P.S. I like P.S.s. I write a letter, so many times I think of something, I'll scratch out something, or I'll add a little P.S. down there. You know, you put what you sort of want to say and should say in the body of the letter, but sometimes somebody else hits you and say, oh, by the way, P.S. Let me tell you this. And so I think beginning with this verse, this word, sincerely, finally, in verse 10, that's Paul's P.S. We're going to look at three or four verses there. I'm going to read a few. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Why do you need to put on the full armor of God? In the world in that day and in the world today, you find the answer a lot of places, but the classic answer, I think, is in Isaiah chapter number 5, verse 20. Whoa, it says, whoa, W-O-E, whoa, wait a minute, time out, halt, don't miss this. Stop the presses, judgment, be careful, whoa. To those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, whoa, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Hey, wait a minute. Verse 21, whoa, wake up, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Whoa, look out, judgment to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. Whoa, he says. Let's prepare for the teaching of the book. Father, how we need not only insight, but the power of your Spirit to live out that which most of us know and understand, but haven't really stood and put into practice. Lord, you speak and let me get out of the way is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever been to the Louvre in Paris, that fabulous art? Would you lift your hand? My, what a traveling bunch. The Louvre, I don't know if it's the largest place for fine art is collected and displayed, but it's certainly one of them. And you can be sure that some of the most magnificent pieces of art the world has ever known is housed in the Louvre. I've been there, I think, three times. It's been some years ago. And I tried to stay as long as I could, though I'm not particularly an art connoisseur, because it's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's just, it's just magnificent. And I've stayed the three times long as I could. One time I was abbreviated. My three sons, they'd stayed far longer than they could. But I feel like in my three trips there, that if this much art is displayed in the Louvre, I'd spend the better part of 3 days there. I've seen about this much. You know, you've been there. Isn't that right? You've seen about this much. And I understood about this much. Also, around the Louvre is a beautiful garden. And they've been there for hundreds of years, cultivated flowers, just really magnificent in appearance. But during recent days, last few years, those gardens have been infested by rats. And the rats now are everywhere in the Louvre. And they have plenty of places to hide, but now they don't hide any longer because they're very, rather bold. And people picnic there in the grounds, the gardens, and they just picnic right along with you. Really true. And they're growing bigger and larger and bolder. And a lot of people said, well, let's poison them, let's kill them, let's trap them. And the animal lover said, oh, no. Those rats have just as much right to be here as you do. And so the French have acquiesced. And so there are rats all around the gardens of the Louvre. Kind of like the world in which we live, isn't it? And the rats have advocates. A lot of them. Don't you disturb one of those rats. Very true. I mean, they don't think about the rats, all the diseases they carry. I looked up the diseases that rats carry, and it's unbelievable. It's astounding from their waste. It's unbelievable. But they're just, you know, they're part of the culture there. And no, nothing wrong with those rats. It may be something wrong with you, but they're just innocent animals there. Don't touch a rat. Don't bother a rat. That's where we are if you ever visit the Louvre and walk around the gardens. Sound familiar? You identify with that? You know, are there any rats running around this universe, this world, our America, that they're passed off as A-OK, but really in your heart of hearts you think, isn't something wrong with this picture? Isn't something sinister about that rat? Maybe something even evil? What if I gave you the plans to build a house for you to live in? And I said, here's the brick, here's the mortar, here's the carpenters, here's the plumbers, you've got everything you need. Go build this house. You say, boy, that's super. I've got it all. Yeah, plans, carpenters, masons, plumbers, roofers. I got it all. Here's the land. Man, I'll go build that house. I said, oh, wait a minute, one little thing. While you're building the house, there's going to be a whole lot of people be trying to kill you. You're going into enemy territory. That would change a little bit, don't you think, about building that house? A lot of enemies around that want to take your life. This is where we are in our world today, ladies and gentlemen. There are rats running around. There are enemies there. And we've talked about those enemies in terms of the devil and his emissaries, the world and the flesh and the devil, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All of that is operating, and they're in, remember, the no-see-em category. Remember those little bugs? No-see-em. They're there. They're invisible. But they are working on you and working on me, and they want simply to destroy you and destroy me. Why do they want to bother with us? If you are a Christian, if I am a Christian, we're running head-on with the hell in this world. Doesn't that make sense? How can it be any other way if we are a member of God's family? And therefore, Paul is telling us here, you've got to do two things. You've got to prepare for the battle of the evil and the sinister that is around you that want to take you out. Why do they want to take us out? So that you will not fulfill the purpose that God has for you for the rest of your life, and I will not fulfill the purpose God has for me the rest of my life. We're to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, right? That means we are to find out what He's up to in our lives, and we are to follow through on that as members of His family. And the evil one wants to destroy, weaken, and take you out and take me out. Make no mistake about it. So we have to be prepared for battle, for war. That's what Paul is telling us. Well, what do? He has two great little phrases here I really love. He says, look at it in verse 11. He says, put on the full armor of God. Then in verse 13, he says, therefore, take up the full armor of God. To put on the armor means, put on means to kind of settle in, you know, kind of get in it, settle in it. I've got an old blue shirt I just love. I mean, it's been with me for eons. It's worn, it's, you know, it's genuine. I didn't have to buy it worn like they do now, you know. It really, it's reached that state in its own way. And I love that shirt. When I get in that shirt, I mean, I just don't ever like for it to be washed unless it's absolutely an emergency. And I get in that blue shirt and I just feel better. I just sink into it. That's what it means. Put on the armor. It feels natural to you. And then it says we're to be very aggressive and we continually put it on, the Greek word. We just keeps on putting on that full armor. We keep on doing it. These qualifications, these different pieces that we'll be looking at in weeks before. We put on, we take up. And we put on and we take up, and that's our defense. Then Paul tells us our enemy here. Do you see it there? He talks about our enemy. He said, we fight against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against human beings, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. In other words, there is a hierarchy of evil that is pitted against you and pitted against me if you're in Christ and I'm in Christ. And therefore, there is the schemes of the devil. How does the devil scheme? He's got your number. Oh, yeah. He's got my number.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. Anger is an emotional response that can be positive, but the wrong kind of anger can be debilitating. There are two safeguards Paul gives us in Ephesians 4 to keep us from the wrong kind of anger. First, he tells us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. In other words, deal with problems and tensions as soon as possible. Don't let them linger or they will fester until they explode inappropriately. And the second safeguard is this. Don't give the devil a foothold in our life. If our anger is vicious or vindictive, the devil will use that to destroy our lives and drag us down. The right kind of anger, righteous anger, is a gift God gives us to use as we speak up and speak out to make a difference for Him. Ask Him to help you to be angry at the right things and in the right way, and to employ these two safeguards to avoid anger that is selfish or harmful to yourself and, of course, to others.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening today. Come back tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Young's message, Satan's Plan for Your Life, as Dr. Young shows you how to prepare for your spiritual battles.